Are you tired of living with the pain of the past? Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell challenges us to go beyond what we ever dreamed was possible.
And I would say to you that sometimes ministry is messy, and sometimes we just want to label people and be done with them. But today we see that we serve a Savior that was willing to help a guy who wasn't really that friendly, who wasn't really the person that others would have said is essential. But you see, to Jesus, everybody is essential.
We all have things that try to hold us back. Guilt from past mistakes or temptations that we can't seem to overcome. It's easy to learn to live with these problems and accept them as who we are. But God has called us to reach forth and fulfill a greater calling in life. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Reaching Forth, Dr. Chappell encourages you to leave behind negative mindsets and the limitations others have put on you and to reach forth to new levels of victory. And now, here's Dr. Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Reaching Forth Practically.
And normally what we do in a Pharisaical manner, whether we intend it or not, what we give is guilt. And what guilt does, it builds resentment and it drives people farther away. And that's kind of the dilemma of a pastor, because as a shepherd, sometimes when I see someone that is otherwise minded, the Lord will put on my heart, it's time to talk to them. Their spirit has changed. There's a difficulty. There's a problem in their life. And it's always risk-reward. The reward is if they say, Pastor, thanks for caring enough to talk to me. And you're right. And I've been having this struggle. And I go home and I say, praise God, a brother has been won. The risk is that someone says, get your hands off me. What are you trying to tell me what to do? You preachers think you rule the whole world and you're just trying to control my life. So it's a risk-reward thing. But the last thing that a parent, a pastor, anyone should want to do is to put guilt on someone when there is a far better way of having it dealt with, and that is when God deals with it. And I want you to remember that. Real conviction is from the Holy Spirit. John 16, 7 and 8, the Bible says, when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Now, why am I preaching this? Why would I share this message? I share it in part because we are ministering in a post-biblical era in America. We are not in an era when there are people that are coming into church and there's just this natural momentum or submissiveness or heart of people to say, what do I do next? And how can I grow in the Lord? And boy, that was great. And we are living in an era where people are slower in their trust of authority, much less believing the Bible to be the Word of God. We're living in an era where people are bringing tremendous amount of baggage. And sometimes, and I don't say this to be mean, but their decor and their mannerisms and their vocabulary and their life is very, very, very different. And sometimes they are otherwise minded. Could I say it that way? But the point is that if they're on that path I spoke about a moment ago, and if they're beginning to learn how to worship and they're getting into a community and they're starting into discipleship, what they need at Lancaster Baptist Church is they need a church that will allow God to correct them while we love them to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not speaking about sin. I'm not speaking about being patient with immorality or being patient with some kind of open sin. I'm not advocating to give license to a backsliding Christian and to say, oh, they're off into that. I guess it's okay. Go ahead and skip church and party and do all that. I'm not speaking about that type of a scenario, but I'm speaking about the fact that the fundamental sense of ministry should be this, that there is a God in heaven who can do a better job of changing your husband than you can. And there's a God in heaven who can help that new Christian. And if our job perception is that we are here to correct every single person that comes through the door, then we're going to hinder the opportunity that the Holy Spirit can have in changing someone's heart. And so we want to continually practice individual soul liberty. We want to recognize that every individual is at a different place. Now, I've taught that. It's one of the Baptist distinctives, individual soul liberty. It's in the Bible, Daniel 1:8. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. Now, some of you have raised teenagers, and you know what I'm talking about. You can tell them how to dress. You can tell them what to do, and they'll say okay for a while, but there will come a point when if it was not in their heart to walk in a biblical fashion or according to the way you taught them, they're going to do it however they want. How much better is it to have a Daniel who purposes in his own heart to live for the Lord Jesus Christ? Now that's individual soul liberty. We read in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. I'd like you to turn in your Bibles quickly to Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. Because I just want to underscore quickly that as we enter into this year, we have a common goal, that's Christ. We have a correcting God who will take care of a lot of the problems and conviction that is needed in helping people to see if they're becoming a stumbling block or if they're thinking otherwise. But until then, we as a church need to understand Romans 14 and verse 10. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Now let's just stop and think about this for a moment. That person that's thinking otherwise, you may have a unique role, and maybe you should talk to them. But the truth of the matter is that all of us are going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ someday. And that we need to be close, and we need to be careful, rather, regarding verse 10, judging a brother. We need to remember that they will stand before the Lord. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but let us judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. And I don't have time to develop the whole concept of the stumbling block, but that stumbling block could be, yes, someone thinking otherwise. It could also be the way that we deal with someone thinking otherwise. But what I want us to realize is that our responsibility is not to be the Baptist police as much as it is to be the Baptist prayer warrior and to recognize that there is a God in heaven who will convict hearts and touch hearts, and he will add to the church and he will remove from the church, and we need to let God be God because we share a common goal, and our common goal is not to be the chief Pharisee. Our common goal is to say, Lord, it's me, it's me, it's me, standing in the need of revival. And as I'm doing that, I serve a convicting God so that if the guy next to me is thinking otherwise, God can take care of that and deal with that in his own way and in his time. And so we ought to thank God for that, that he loves this church more than we do, and he will deal with needs as those needs arise. And yes, sometimes he'll call upon the under-shepherd and he'll burden my heart. I understand that. But let's let Lancaster Baptist Church be a place where someone who's trying to figure it out, they're not being rebellious. They're not against God. They're not against the church. They're just growing. They don't understand that this is a place of health where they can grow into the image of Jesus Christ. Amen. Remember that everyone's at a different part of that ministry path. They're just growing at different areas and spaces and times along the way. So we share a common goal, and our goal is Jesus Christ. We serve a convicting God so that when someone gets their eyes off of Jesus Christ, God, the Bible says in verse number 15, will reveal that unto them. Now, let me ask you a quick question. We're almost done. How many of you can say, there have been lots of times in my life when God revealed to me that I was thinking otherwise? How many of you? Lots of times in my life when God revealed to me. And how many of you would say this? It's very powerful when God reveals it to me as opposed to when my wife reveals it to me. Right? Now, I hope that you are giving me as your pastor some leeway and some inroad and that I can be a helper, as Paul said, a helper of your joy. But there are people that won't even hear it from their pastor. But when God convicts your heart, don't you call that guilt. I've seen some people say, just putting a guilt trip on me. No. Don't you relabel God's loving conviction as guilt. When God's trying to get you to change in an area, be quick to follow his wonderful, loving voice. So we share a common goal. We serve a convicting God. And then notice finally, we study a convincing guide. Well, notice verse 16. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Now, you've heard this before. The word rule speaks of the canon of Scripture. The scripture was canonized. It was kept in the Ark of the Covenant, all the Old Testament books. The 27 books of the New Testament were added to the canon. It's called a rule, the rule of scripture. It is our guide, and we are challenged to walk according to the same rule. As we think of the same rule, we recognize that to accomplish these spiritual goals, then daily we must be following the same spiritual guide. That is the Word of God. The Bible teaches us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we see the word rule, and we're reminded of the veracity of Scripture. The fact that the law was placed into the Ark of the Covenant with Aaron's law that budded, that each of the books of the New Testament were written by eyewitnesses of the resurrected Christ, that those books were placed into the canon of Scripture as they followed after and were tested by holy men of God, and they became a part of the rule, the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of the righteous thy righteous judgments endureth forever. And the principles that we have taught and believed here since 1986 have all come from the Word of God, which is our guide, from the preserved Word of God that He has given to us and kept for us. And He's given us His words. I believe in the King James Version of the Bible, we have the truth of God's Word preserved for us in our hands tonight. And many have died that we might have it as we have it tonight. We believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God. We believe that Jesus Christ is the only atonement for sin. We believe that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead, and that salvation by grace and through faith is taught to us in the Scripture. And we could go on and on. Where do we derive these beliefs from? From the rule, from the guide, from the Bible, and the Word of God, and the letter B and the letter Baptist, as we give the acrostic, stands for Bible authority in all matters of faith and practice. What we believe is determined by the very Word of God. And we ought to thank God tonight that we have a reliable guide in His Word. And I say to you tonight, the Bible is an equalizer. It doesn't matter if you're a baby boomer or a millennial or a Gen X. The Bible speaks to all of us in the same way. Every single one of us, the Bible teaches us, 2 Timothy 3 and 14, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Hey, we don't have a Bible for the juniors and a Bible for the millennials and a Bible for the ladies and a Bible for the men. We have one Bible. It's a great equalizer for the entire church. Amen. All of us come to the same word. The Bible's a great equalizer. The Bible is a stabilizer. We read, prove all things. Prove everything. Hold fast to that which is good. The Bible is a multiplier. When the Bible is preached and taught, people's lives grow and the church will grow. So the veracity of the Scripture is given. And then there is the victory of the Scripture. Notice what it says in verse 16. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Now look right here. If some people were as faithful to the Word of God this year as they intend to be at the gym, their whole life would change. The reason that you do not grow spiritually, the reason that you're bored with the Bible, is because you are not minding the Bible. You're not putting your mind to it. You put your mind to how many reps you're going to do in an exercise, or how many laps you're going to run, or how many miles you're going to ride. You've got your mind on that. It's on your watch. It's on your phone. And then you think about it. You got to hydrate for it. You got to be ready for it. But if you're not minding the Word of God, there will be no growth in your life spiritually. Victory only comes when we're applying the principles of the Word of God to our life. The erosion of character usually begins with neglect. We stop reading the Word of God or worshiping with God's people or making time to meditate and pray, and your character begins to erode. And normally people backslide together, and you may not see the terrible tragedy of that for some years, but after pastoring for decades, I can tell you, when someone who once was minding the Word of God turns from it, it never ends well. It never ends well. I love what D.L. Moody said. A Bible that is falling apart usually belongs to someone who is not. Can I just have your attention for a moment? Could I encourage you this year to do whatever it takes to be mindful of the Scriptures? What's it going to take? I mean, someone says, well, I know what I have to do to get ready for my workout. I have to have my clothes all laid out. I have to have my water bottle, everything, my alarm clock. Because why? Because that's a priority in your life. What's it going to take to make God a priority? I read an amazing book this past week entitled Atomic Habits. Just amazing. And it's a secular book. It's got some psychology in it. But one of the principles they talked about was stacking habits. So, in other words, take something that you already do every day and take that new thing that you want to begin doing and identify the two together. And so I began to think about, well, what are some things? And Terry and I, we pray together every morning and we often read the Word, but I wanted that to get deeper this year. This is such a little thing. So I said, well, what are some things that I like to do every day? And one of them came right to my mind. I like to eat every day. Just like a bear, you know, you wake up hungry. So I found the biggest Bible in our house. And I asked my wife's permission first because I've learned can't just decorate the place. She has to sign off. And I said, would you mind if I put the biggest Bible in the house on our kitchen table? She said, no, that'd be great. You say, are you that dumb, Pastor, that you might forget sometimes to read the Bible with Terry if you don't have the biggest Bible in the house on your kitchen table? I'm actually that dumb and sometimes that busy. Why don't you figure out a way to stack the right habits into your life so that you'll mind the rule of God's Word? I mean, how are we going to reach forth if we don't have reminders to pray and reminders for the Word of God? And how are we going to reach forth if we don't have godly habits supporting those godly goals? And oh, how I would encourage you, there is victory in the applied Word of God. Our goal is set. Jesus is the goal. Our God will convict. We don't have to try to play the Holy Spirit for everyone. And if there's known sin in the church, you have a pastor who will deal with that. Sometimes, I don't know, as quickly as you or something of that nature, but we're very sensitive to the fact this is a church that we want the Holy Spirit to have freedom. Amen. Amen. But God will convict. He'll do a better job than us. And our guide, the Word of God, is reliable. Now, as I close, I want to read this final verse here, verse 17. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample. Now, I cannot explain this. I think every pastor at times feels unworthy. But the fact is that God, humanly speaking, has given an under-shepherd to his church. He has placed into the church spiritual leadership. There are requirements for the pastor, 1 Timothy 3, Titus 1. Nevertheless, human leadership, under-shepherds, under the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. And it's interesting because the Bible says in this passage, brethren, be followers together of me. 1 Corinthians 11, 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ. You say, well, that was Paul. He was an apostle, but he was a man. And in the book of Hebrews, I believe he wrote the same regarding those who taught the Word of God. And I share this with you tonight because I have endeavored to lay out a vision tonight, to lay some direction out before the church, to challenge you. Hey, we all have a common goal, Christ. We all have a convicting God. We all need to be in the Word of God. And frankly, there's always a tension between where we need to go and where we are because we like our comfort zone, and getting out of the comfort zone and into the vision zone, normally there's a tension with that. And I don't think it's really that easy, and I don't know of many pastors who have cast strong vision, and there's always sort of that tension of, okay, Lord, we're going to step out of our comfort again, and we're going to go knock on some more doors and preach some more sermons and tell lots of people that they're sinners. I mean, that's my job. And I'm going to tell those same people that I just told are sinners to do more than tithe because we're going to build a building. Yay, what a job. And you just go, what I do is nuts unless God gets in the middle of it. And I count it a great privilege to do what I do. I'm not complaining. God has called me to get myself out of the comfort zone and try to get others out so that we can get into the vision zone and do something great for God. And maybe I'm being overly vulnerable, but let me simply say, if it's just my vision, nothing happens. And Paul knew that himself, and so he said, brethren, be followers together of me. Say, well, the church has grown. So they didn't used to have guys with beards. I know, they just started having them. I'm just telling you. Say, well, it used to bother you. It just doesn't bother me as much anymore. Say, what do you mean? We have a pastor that has stuff that doesn't bother him as much anymore? What's wrong with him? We want a bothered pastor. Folks, I can only get bothered about so much, and there's so much in this world to get bothered about these days. As long as I'm doctrinally straight and morally pure. I don't think a beard, and I wasn't planning to speak about beards, but it's so fun to speak about them. I don't think a beard is a doctrinal thing. Brethren, be ye followers together of me as I follow Christ. You have done that and have been such a blessing. But can I say to you, in this social media era, where there are so many voices, and so many of you get that little dopamine rush to get a like or to give a like, and so many of you have a stronger relationship with an internet personality or blogger, growing and growing and growing, or a YouTuber, or a this or a that. Some of you must intentionally say, you know what, I've got to go back to first century Christianity when it looked like this. Lydia, the jailer, and the demon-possessed girl became a church, and they had a pastor, and he wasn't God, and he wasn't Christ, and we don't confess our sins to the pastor, but he was leading them in the ways of Christ. And so I got to get back to this model of the primary relationship is my relationship with Christ and my relationship with the local church. Because if you're going to have many shepherds that you shop, you can't really follow the pastor who's trying to give the vision tonight. And I haven't been checking your history feeds, but I'm just advocating for this simple formula tonight. That we all have a common goal, we all have a convicting God, we all have a convincing Bible, but you also have an under-shepherd, and I'm still here trying to lead. But there's a lot more voices out there than there used to be. It's just a different time of leadership. It's a completely different landscape than I started when I was 24 years old. There wasn't even an internet when I started. So it's your choice. I'm making the choice to push off the dock of the bay and go out into the deep waters so that we can do something great for children and reach more homes and more souls for Christ. And it's your choice to say, as he follows Christ, I'm with that guy. And together, we're going to get something great done for our God. We're going to follow him. Brethren, be followers together of me and mark them which follow so as ye have us for an ensample. May we be a people going after Christ like the Apostle Paul did. May we be a people following God's simple pattern in a day when Satan tries to so cause us to hear so many voices and go so many ways. May we be striving together for the faith of the gospel.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. While you're there, be sure to sign up for his free Daily in the Word email devotional and take a look at all the helpful resources. Again, that's paulchappell.com. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell serves as a pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, become a partner in the Word, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at paulchappell.com. And thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.